Welcome back, everybody. So excited about today. We are going to talk about team building. And it is such a phenomenal topic because mining is a team sport. And we're going to get a little bit practical of how do you do team building. So there are many ways. We're just going to discuss 5 points how you can effectively engage with your team, have a team building session, and get to know your team a lot better, but also growing at understanding and being a lot more productive as a team. So let's get started. We're going to talk about five things that we're going to cover today. Number one, how well do you know your team? It's the first point. How do you know what they're naturally good at? There are some tools there. Number three, facilitated team building versus the team leader organizing such an event and leading it him or herself. The fourth one is preparation, and the fifth one is feedback. All right, so let's give a little bit of context why this conversation today and why is it relevant in this point in time in our lives. Well, as I said, firstly, mining is a team sport, and because it's a team sport, we have to effectively operate as a team. Doesn't matter where you are and what area of the mining resource sector you are, or any industry for that matter, you will be working in teams and you're going to rely on people to be successful. Now, the more important thing is if you are in a leadership position is that it's incumbent on you as the leader to facilitate that session or to make sure there is team building taking place. And there are, call it informal team building sessions and formal team building sessions. So I was faced very recently with the fact that in our company, we have got a whole brand new team and the leadership is four people. And I realized that we need to have a team building session because these are new people that have never worked together. And we know each other from, call it past experiences and working in the past together. But actually, we know very little about one another. And the very first point of this team building podcast today is how well do you know your team? So as a point of departure, there are various levels of getting to know one another. It can be quite superficial and factual. So you've got children and, you know, where did you study? You know, what do you like to do in your part time? Are there common interests? So getting to know people, asking general questions to get to know them a little bit better. But that is not enough if we want to build high-performance teams, because we spend quite a bit of time, 70% of our waking days in a job or a profession, and it's so important to get to know the people that you work with and spend most of your time with to get to know them really well. So there's a saying that goes, I will only trust you if I know that you care for me. And if you show a keen interest in getting to know your team, it's the very first point of actually starting to build that team. And one of the fantastic ways that you can get to know your team is to use tools to get them to know them better. And as an upfront disclaimer, I'm not getting paid at all by any of the products or the places or websites I'm going to mention now. But there are very good tools out there that are quite free and, you know, that can help you to get to know your team a little bit better. One of them that I've recently used is Marcus Buckingham's StrengthFinder test. And it's on, you know, you can just Google it and there's a free assessment. And what Marcus has done, him and his team for decades now, they've got like hundreds of thousands of samples and people that they've developed this tool. And it's a 10 to 15 minutes assessment. And what it does, it naturally takes what you're good at, your natural passion for, well, firstly, what you're good at, and then what you love doing. And it has an intersection point of developing a profile of the two your two biggest strengths as an individual. And we are all different, and those combinations, and it's like 9 profiles overall. And those 9 profiles have got 2 dominant ones that overlap, and it then sort of that becomes your genius. Then there's and so you can do that test online, and you can send it to your members, the link, and you can have them do the test, and you can ask them to share that with you. And in preparation for a team building session, you can have this information, and then you can start sharing that information, and everybody can maybe, you know, participate in reading out loud somebody else's team strengths. And it's quite an awakening when people start discovering what they're naturally good at. Because the important thing is that from this exercise, we generally don't grow in our areas of weaknesses, but we naturally grow in our areas of strengths. So if we have got formation, what we're really good at, and what gives us energy at work, we can bring that into the workplace, and we can also leverage that from a fellow team member. So that's the but there are other tools as well. I follow regularly the Working Genius podcast. It's a phenomenal podcast that has got 6 type of working geniuses in the workplace and in life in general, even in, you know, your family relationships, that you can leverage those natural geniuses of people. And we all have got geniuses, natural gifts and talents. And if you can leverage those and bring it into the workplace, then you are so much more effective. Because some of us are in roles or doing specific tasks at work, which really frustrates us. And in the working genius model, for example, there are 2 areas of frustration. You have 2 geniuses, you've got 2 working competencies, and you've got 2 areas of frustration. And if you're in given tasks at work or doing in activities at work that are in your frustration level, it actually withdraws or takes your energy away, and you get quite depleted during the working day. All right, so that's the first one, is how well do you know your team, and are you putting things in place to start to get to know them? All right, now we touch on the second one. What are they naturally good at? And it links to the previous conversation of, you know, the working genius, getting a profile done, getting an assessment done, and just having a conversation. I've for many years, when I'm new in a team, I would sit one-on-one with every team member, and I would ask them, what are your strengths? What are you naturally good at? And some people are quite humble, and they don't want to talk about it, or they, you know, they just naturally humble. But most of us have got strengths, and we know what they are. And if you can understand that from your team, you can leverage that. Because let's say, for example, one of the strengths is I'm quite creative, and I do creative things, and I always come up with new plans of solutions. Then if there's a situation at work in your team where you have to find new plans or new ideas, you can leverage that strength of a team member. Let's say one of your team members is naturally good at galvanizing the team and is the natural team captain or the energizer bunny in the workplace. And they love mobilizing a team and inspiring the team and getting the team around a common goal and doing something. You can use that in your team to have that person function in that area of strength. So do you know the strengths of your team, and have you done anything about to find out what those strengths are, and how are you leveraging it? So that was the second point. The third one is facilitating a team building session. And this can be quite tricky, and I was faced with this because we have got a new team, and my ideal way of doing a team building session is have it facilitated by an independent person. And there are consultants out there that can do that. But it costs you money, and it costs you sometimes getting away from the workplace and being in a neutral venue, and it goes with cost to do that. But there are other ways of doing it. You can do it a lot cheaper. You can do it in an informal setting. You can do it on a weekend when nobody's working and you do it for a day. Or what we've done is I did all the preparation work. I sent the assessments out and the links and asked the team members to fill in their assessments and to do it, and they sent me the reports back. I asked them to write down their short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals that they have for themselves at a personal level, but also in a business context level, at a work level. And I prepared a presentation, and then we did everything online. And we were in different parts of the country and in the world, and the four of us got together on Zoom, and we did that. I had the information, I had a presentation, I was sharing, you know, we're taking the company, and we were looking at everybody's different profiles. We analyzed that. We had lots of laughs and fun doing it. And we really had a really good three-hour session online of just getting to know each other at a much deeper level. And now for some of these people, I've known for 30 years, but I didn't know them at the level of or the depth at which those assessments and what we've learned from each other at that particular team-building event. And what it did for us, it just galvanized us very quickly in mobilizing our strengths and getting to know what we're good at. There are other informal settings that you can just have a barbecue, you can go out to a sporting event together. You can do various things to build your team, but you have to, in some way, have a formal session where you are quite intentional as the leader at what you want to achieve from that session. And with that goes the next point of preparation. I've mentioned the websites and the tools that I used or that is available out there. And you've got a big budget. You can obviously spend it on consultants and do various like psychometric testing and MBTI. And there are all sorts of models out there to do that. But you have to be intentional about preparing for such a session. There's nothing worse than rocking up at a team building session and you didn't, as leader, prepare for it or have a conversation with a consultant beforehand of what do you want to achieve out of the session and what is the consultant going to show, how is the consultant going to deal with it. If you are going to make use of a consultant and you have a facilitated session, make sure you spend the time. You don't rock up there the first day and not know what the consultant will deliver and what the program is about. You have to do your homework. You have to prepare for that. And there's nothing worse than a consultant that arrives and doesn't have a clue what you want to achieve. And the two of you and you land up there being embarrassed because that's not what you wanted out of the session. So preparation, preparation, preparation. And in that preparation, you will get what you want out of that session. So I've mentioned the tools, I've mentioned the assessments, there are various consultants, you just use Google or whatever website searching you can do or speaking to friends, somebody that has done this, that can refer somebody to you. There are many, many ways to find a solution to doing the actual event, but you have to prepare for it. And, you know, when we did our event, some of the feedback that we got, which is the next point, is feedback, was that they didn't expect it to be that good, especially because it was remote and they would have preferred it face-to-face. And so we've covered, I'm just going to pause there, we've covered how well do you know your team, do you know, second thing, you know, what they're naturally good at and where their strengths are. Number three, doing the team building event itself, that being either facilitated by somebody else or you leading that session. Number four, preparation. And now we're into the feedback. You're going to get some feedback. Why do you have a team building session if you don't want the feedback of what's working, what's not? Did it actually deliver what you hoped it would for your team? And that is very important. It is very important to get that feedback. Some of that will be quite brutal. Maybe some of the one, I mean, I recall a couple of years ago, we had a facilitated session, and one of the consultant that we used asked us to say two things. So for every member had to have a one-on-one session with every other member in the team, and you had to write down and then discuss with them two things that you would like them to continue with and two things that they should do less of or stop doing. And it was quite brutal because the feedback, when I looked at, we were seven or eight members, I can't remember, in the team. And when I looked at the feedback from the majority of members, and I can't remember exactly whether it was six out of the eight or seven out of the eight, I got some common themes about blind spots that I had as a leader. And I realized that this feedback is very useful to me because they are all literally telling me the same thing, what I should stop doing or what I should do less of. And so feedback is a wonderful tool to improve yourself and grow and become a better leader or supervisor for that matter. Doesn't matter. We all in leadership positions, even if it's just leading ourselves or our family. Right. That takes us then to the final point, which was feedback. And in summary, I found all of the team building sessions that I've been through in my career extremely helpful. It does become brutal in a way that it does open up wounds or emotional scars that you didn't know that you had or have, and it will ask you to change in some way or the other, change your ways of doing, change your communication with people, make changes to the team in or the way that you operate as a team or as an organization. There's nothing worse than doing a team building session, and it is just that. It's just a session, but there's no team. And you walk away from that, and I've been through those as well, where it actually doesn't deliver anything because nobody commits to any action to make things to make a change to themselves or to do something different within the organization. And that is really a very bad outcome from such an event, which you have put lots of effort and time in to get a better outcome. That's it, everybody. In summary, make sure you start getting to know your team really well. The second one is make sure you know their strengths and that those strengths can be leveraged for the team and for the organization. Then do the event, either facilitate it, a facilitated team building event, or one that you lead yourself. Make sure you prepare very well, the fourth point, for that event and that it is enjoyable for your people. And the final thing is make sure that there's feedback and action that comes from that event and that you take that feedback and become a better leader of the team. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Enjoy your mining. Cheers.